thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
God wants you to have absolute victory because God's got big intentions for you. He doesn't want anything interfering with the big plans. Now, his intentions for you involve a kingdom. That's big stuff. It involves a transition from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from false ideas to the truth, and by the way, nothing but the truth, from selfishness to genuine love. Now, this call, this change, this movement from one kingdom to another are given to us in Scripture in the way of analogy as from darkness into light. And I want you to see how God fully intends you to have and to know the five basic steps that assure absolute victory and move you from darkness into light. Absolutely. Well, let's first of all take a look at the call. Hope you've got your teaching notes ready to go and pen, pencil, paper, and you'll want to jot the references down at least and look them up again. The call from darkness to light. Here's the scripture. You, and I want you to know that this scripture is personal just for you. You are a chosen. Well, that's pretty good too. God choosing. He's got intentions for you. You are a chosen generation. Look at this, you're even royalty. And you have a priesthood, that means contact with God. And you are a holy nation, and maybe you think the only description here that fits you is this one about being a peculiar people because somebody told that to you. Well, watch this. All these things are true, and here's the reason. That you should be able to show forth the praises of Him. Now, watch this phrase. Who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light? Not just into light, but into marvelous light. That's what God has planned for you. Now, however, with this there comes a problem. And here is the problem in the book of Isaiah. Because the scripture says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Look at this, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. The problem is that people have said something that is light is really dark, and something that's dark is really light, and they have switched it around until many of us today don't know the difference between darkness and light. It goes on to say that they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and then it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now the problem, remember, is that they have put darkness for light, good for evil and evil for good, so that an entire generation, a whole society, can be totally mixed up and not even know the difference between right and wrong, up and down, forward and back, left and right. They don't know the difference between light and darkness. You see, that's why the scriptures tell us in the last days, perilous times shall come. It's perilous when you don't, and when you can't tell whether something is white or black, light or dark, because it's been switched around in our minds by so many forces. So, what we want to learn, however, is how to break fellowship with all these works of darkness and live in the light that the scripture speaks of it when it says, and here's a wonderful verse about you. Here it is. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Your path should be getting so bright. Your life should be emitting so much light. Every day gets better. It's like you ride upon the high places of the earth. You're so excited because the light's getting brighter until that perfect day. However, the same scripture goes on to say that the wicked is as darkness, and they don't know what they stumble at, see? So the question heavy upon us then today is this. How can we transition into this marvelous light? And so I want to give you five vital steps from the scriptures to absolute victory that can move us out of darkness into the marvelous light. I tell you, when you get out of darkness into light, you're out of depression into encouragement. You are out of the doldrums into excitement, and many other aspects are going to be true for you. Now, the first step, and get ready to write it down, you need these five basic vital steps. Number one is that we must recognize the extent of the kingdom of darkness. Look at this diagram with me. You can see over on this side we have Satan's realm here, and over on the left in the realm of light is God's kingdom. Here's the question, though. How far in this direction does Satan's kingdom extend? And how far, for that matter, does God's kingdom extend in this direction? Where is the division between these two kingdoms? Now, why don't you go ahead and take a guess? Because, you see, some people will say, well, Satan's kingdom must be at least over here to the really where it's really dark. Somebody else says, well, I think Satan's kingdom is sort of where the gray line is. Or some think it's in the middle of the gray. Where is the line? How far in this direction does Satan's kingdom extend? Or does it come to the edge of the light here? Now, the fact is, and this is shocking, it is shocking to understand where this line really is. Are you ready? Because Satan's kingdom reaches right into the kingdom of light. Satan can look like light. Now, I want you to see this in the scripture. Here it is. Satan himself is transformed, look at this, into an angel of light. Satan transformed into an angel of light right over here. Look at this next part of the verse. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Satan's got ministers working right over in this area of light. Now, remember, to call out of darkness, in order to respond to this call from darkness to light, we have to understand the extent of that kingdom of darkness. Now, it's like this, that in these gray areas, Satan has hooks. See them in the diagram. And he wants to move us from light into the gray, and then from the gray into the darker gray, and from the gray into the black. But he works in this whole realm, this entire zone here, is a kingdom of darkness. You see, one of the things that happens is that teenagers argue with their parents about something here that's in the gray area, and they don't see it as dark, they see it as gray. In fact, you know, if you ever wanted to poison somebody, you know what to do is you cover the poison up with something that looks good. Here's a candy. Candy coating on the outside, but poison on the inside. Now, there are a lot of disguises. See, only part of the candy is poison. If you had a cherry pie, how much arsenic does it take to spoil that cherry pie? How much poison does it take? How much of the pie do you want? You see, the whole pie is affected by a little poison. And that's what the scripture says. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? A little bit of black, a little bit of the darkness, look at this now, brings darkness into the whole lump. All the grays are part of the kingdom of darkness. Now, in contrast for a moment, look at this scripture. Let's talk about this area here, this kingdom of light. What is it like? How is it different? Here it is. God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. No darkness at all. Well, you see, the question becomes, in looking at this whole spectrum from darkness to light, is where is the standard? Where do we draw the line? Satan is trying to move people from light to gray, from gray to absolute darkness. And what I want us to see today is that the call out of darkness is not just a call out of the dark, but it's a call out of the gray, all of the gray, and out of that which even looks like light, but it's not. Let's look at a few scriptures to help us get this, because the first step, and by the way, if we only get one step today, we'll have done really well, because the vital step of discovering the extent of the kingdom of Satan is so important. Look at the scripture. The light of the body is the eye. So if the eye, therefore, is single, your whole body shall be full of light. If all that you get coming into your body through the eye is light, then all you'll have is light. Well, watch the next part of this verse. But if your eye is evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that you took in you is actually darkness, how great is the darkness going to be that's inside of us? And that's the issue, you see. Because we take in what we think is light and is darkness, and our lives become filled up with darkness. And this darkness comes in many different kinds. Let's talk for a few moments about some of these kinds of darkness. Let's talk about moral darkness first. You know, if we put on this diagram over here, there's almost unmentionable immoralities over here, like bestiality, sex with animals, and sex with children, can you imagine? And homosexuality, and adultery, and fornication, and divorce, and uncleanness. And then we get in here in the grays, and it's like self-abuse, and lasciviousness is used in Scripture, and defrauding. And so we got these different degradations, gradations, rather, of degrading behaviors, say. And we tend to think that these are the most severe. And yet all of these have darkness in them. And if that be true, the question then becomes, well, what's the true light like? Look at the diagram here. Biblical marriage is what's over here in the pure, in the real light. The marriage where, look at it, it's honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. But all these kind of defilements over here, no matter how extreme or how gray they are, have got the poisons, have got the bad stuff in it, because, you see, the real thing, the pure thing, is a scriptural marriage. And all others are a substitute for the genuine light of God. Then there's religious darkness, and we had time, we could do Romans 1, when they knew God, they worshipped Him as God. Then we go to Satanism over here, and animism, and fetishism, and totemism, and polytheism, and monotheism, and agnosticism, and atheism, and Russellism. And to get over here, we got New Age, and then we have humanism. Then we have what I call nominalism, where it's basically a Christian religion, but you don't have to live it. It's just sort of assent. And then over here, we have denominationalism. And here in the light, oh my goodness, you know that Solomon said over here, I looked under the sun to the place of judgment, and wickedness was there. Look at this. I looked over here, and what he thought was light, and it was iniquity was there. Jesus even described this zone when he said, many will say unto me, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and we've done all kinds of wonderful things. And he said, I'm sorry, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, because not all good-looking religious activity is godly. We have dark religious ideas. We have gray religious ideas. We have white magic. We have Christian-looking humanism. But you see, the truth is, The absolute purity is the one who is called the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But every shade of darkness, every gray, is a trap, it's a snare to take us away from the light. Oh, there's darkness in the media. Over here in videos, and you could have absolute immoral, vain imaginations, and the scripture says their foolish heart was darkened, and then we got movies that are rated differently and not seemingly so bad, but you know what? There are embedded wrong ideas, embedded darkness, even by implication in some of what are nice movies. Instead of truth and purity and holiness, even the good movies are full of darkness. Darkness with hooks that keep pushing people and urging people in this direction, even as in music. Music is dangerous. Dangerous because it's gray at times. Dangerous because it has the pretense of light. It's even possible to have what some people call Christian music, and it's dark. Because you see, the singing of the gospel with a sensual sound, with certain body movements, with certain body language, it's like, it's not just whether or not the lyrics are right, but it's the spirit. There's a verse in here that says, "The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life." Do you know you can take the Bible and beat people with it? The letter will kill. That's why it's really important that when anyone ministers from this book, they minister not just what it says, but the way it says, and represent properly the feelings of God. And so there's darkness in music, and what should be the ideal? Well, if you really went over here, you see, the real thing over on this other side of the standard line here is real worship of God in the beauty of holiness. Then there's publications, there's darkness, gray magazines over here, and there's black magazines and copy and print and story and picture and put together. These ones over here in the grays you see at the checkout, but they are the hooks of Satan that move us. Same subject matter, clothed a little better. And soap stories become dirty stories. But see, over on the other side is the word of the Lord. And his words are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times, the scripture says. And you see, the darkness gets into every area of our life, even in clothing design. Over here, you can have transgender clothing. And the scripture's plain, the woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, and neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord. Then we got sexual clothing, sensual clothing, provocative clothing, defrauding clothing, the attire of a harlot described in the book of Proverbs. We got body language. But what is the pure stuff that we should be living over here in light? And the answer to that is that the scripture says that women should adorn themselves, look at this, in modesty. That's what's over there. That which becometh women professing godliness. Now, what we really got to do today is get this picture straight. If we accept darkness in any degree, look here at the diagram with me. If we live here in the darkness in any degree, what happens is that we will fight unnecessary battles. In fact, the scripture describes it this way, that the enemy will come in like a flood. A flood comes in on all sides around us. That's what happens if we live in any of the darkness. And what does God do when this happens? Look at this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God, well, look at this, raises up the standard. That's what this is. A standard. A standard in which there is no darkness whatsoever. And he wants us to live on this side of the standard, where there is no darkness whatsoever. That way the enemy cannot get in. The first step to victory, absolute victory, is to understand the extent of the kingdom of darkness and know what it is you need to get out of, not just the black, but the grays, and even some of the whites. Look at the diagram with me again. You see, over here is murder. Jesus come along and he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I'm saying unto you, look way over here, that if a brother hates him, if somebody hates his brother, he's a murderer in his heart. You see, the stuff over here and the stuff over here is the same. One just doesn't get carried out, perhaps, into fruition. Look at this. Another one Jesus said. He said, over here, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a horrible thing to do. To cheat, to be unfaithful, to have no loyalty to the one that you covenanted to. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Everybody, I think, if they think about it, would admit it. Although we've gotten to the day when the darkness of adultery is not perceived as very dark at all. We cover it up with gray stuff that says, well, everybody has a right to be happy. See, Jesus said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm saying that over here, he that looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. You see, the grays are as much the problem as these severe blacks over here. Now, while you're looking at the scripture, I want you to take another. I'm going to quote another verse for you. In fact, let me see if I got it. Here it is. It's one you know. It says that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Look at them. All them that come unto God by him. Now watch the diagram. Is he talking about the uttermost this way? Or is he talking about the uttermost in this direction? I want you to know that when Jesus says he has the power to save, and that he saves to the uttermost, you know, there's not too many of us who don't know. We have enough experience. We've seen him work before. We've seen Jesus. We've seen him come walking out of the pages of the Bible right into a person's life. I've seen him change a drunk in 30 seconds. I've seen him change a drug addict. I've seen him change so many people over here so radically, so quickly. Nobody doubts that he can do that. That's why they call him Savior, because he really does save. We probably neglected that he saves to the uttermost. In this direction. He wants to save to the uttermost, not just the real, ugly, black, dirty stuff, but the stuff that looks like light but's not. The grays that are really blacks. The poison that's really there. He wants to get it all out of us. So let's understand that the intent of victory, movement from darkness to the light, means movement not just from the severe darkness, but from the grays, from the light grays, and even from that that looks like it's okay, but it's not. You see, that's the promise he gave us when he said he would be faithful and he would just be just. And he would forgive us our sins, and watch this now, he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all darkness, all the gray-colored darkness, even the light-looking, iniquity-disguised unrighteousness. He comes along to tell us that he wants to cleanse us. Look at this once again. The whole gamut of darkness, from here to here. The first step to getting out of darkness into the light is to recognize the extent of the darkness. It's not just over here. It's not just here. But Satan works all the way over to what I call this the bloodline. It's a line that it's drawn by the Lord. It's the standard that God sets. And once you get on this side of this bloodline over here, well, my goodness, over there, there is no darkness whatsoever, no shadow. And that's what God's like. You see, that's why they call him in the scriptures the Father of lights. And every good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of lights. And watch this, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There are no compromises. There's just purity. Five steps on how to move absolutely from darkness to light. But step number one is to recognize the extent of darkness. And what I want to do is to spend a few more moments with you. And let's go into step 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because when we follow them, we really will have fulfilled the marvel of this call. The call from darkness unto the marvelous light.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.